Show with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the catch-up coming up this afternoon. Dobbo joins us with a bit of breaking news with regards to Cam Smith. We'll cover off on that. Should we have ocean pools here on the Gold Coast? Our phone lines lit up like a Christmas tree on that. And I was stunned, I've got to say, at the reaction for the Gold Coast as to whether or not we do want these ocean-style pools. Chappelle Corby's in the news today. We have a bit of a laugh with that. Timmy Slade, he came fifth in Bathurst yesterday and now he's on the road back to the Gold Coast driving yet again. He'll join us from the road. Cherie covers off on the Brownlow medals for us and tells us why the Wags of 2020 have been absolutely ripped off this year compared to back in her day. And the great Marty Lang joins us ahead of this Sunday's NRL Grand Final. He tells us why he thinks synergy is going to help win for the Penny Panthers. There's a lot of parallels between the last team that won for Penrith back in 2003, of which he was a part of, and this current crop of players in 2020. You can hear that and a whole lot more if you listen to this. It's the catch-up. It's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Hey, the whole narrative on Cameron Smith and whether or not he's going to retire at the end of the grand final on Sunday has changed this afternoon with some breaking news that's on the Courier Mail with regards to a shock comeback of sorts for Cam Smith. Just before we get to League's Best Insider Dobbo to find out what's going on with that, I've got to just pay tribute to the great Fatty Vorton. He's a Gold Coaster, but my God, he makes me laugh on TV. He's the best co-commentator that we've got in rugby league, in my humble opinion, and here's an example of why. So it's Friday night. The Melbourne Storm are about to take on the Canberra Raiders for a spot in the grand final, and Fatty's having a chat to Cam Smith off-air about a live interview that they're about to do on the TV. And he says to him, "Don't worry, Cam, I'm not going to ask you about your retirement," because that's what all everybody's asking Cam Smith about at the moment. Have a go at this. Firstly, you're going to hear him off-air, and then you'll hear him on-air. Have a go.
"I'm not going to ask you about retiring, all right, so don't worry about it."
"Right, man.
Here we go, Fatty. Here we go, Cam. Set, boys. 3, 2.
Cameron, are you retiring after this game?"
God, that's funny. It's so funny. But the news now is that Cam Smith might not be retiring, but making a comeback for Queensland in the State of Origin. Dobbo joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, how are you, Luke? How are you, brother?
Good, mate. Good. Is there any validity to this, my friend, or is it just rumours?
Well, you know, it's interesting that that's being reported. I actually had a chat to Cameron Smith today, and I said to him, "Would you consider coming back?" And he didn't say no. All he said was, "We have a massive strike power of number nines and a lot of depth for number nines." Now, what he didn't say was that he wouldn't prepare to play at 5'8", or he could play, you know, at 7 if there was an injury or something like that. But he didn't. He actually just sort of scoffed it off. Now, I mean, there was rumours circulating earlier this week that Greg Inglis might potentially be able to come back if they could get him registered as well. I'd like to think that Cam Smith retires after winning the grand final on Sunday night, and he leaves the arena, and that's it. I don't think, unfortunately, unless there's a massive injury to Jake Friend, that he'll be back.
So, Dobbo, a couple of things there. Firstly, you don't think that there's much in these rumours doing the rounds of the Savo that he's going to play State of Origin for Queensland.
No. Secondly,
you do believe he'll retire after the grand final on Sunday?
100%. 100%. Look, I mean, everything that I'm hearing, despite the denials, is that he will retire. Remember, there's a young man by the name of Harry Grant. Now, he played for the West Tigers this year on loan from the Melbourne Storm. If Cameron Smith plays on next year, Melbourne Storm miss the next Cameron Smith, which is Harry Grant. And Harry Grant is free to go anywhere. Now, he would be the most sought-after young footballer going around if he became on the open market. My understanding is he's telling everybody close to him that he'll be at the Melbourne Storm next year, which would mean that Cameron Smith retires at the end of this season. Now, if you ask Cameron, he'll say, I haven't made a decision. I stood next to his old man, Wayne, Cameron Smith's old man, Wayne, on Friday night as they were carrying him off the field. And I said, is that it? He goes, how would I bloody know? He wouldn't tell me.
Really?
And yeah, and Wayne didn't. I'll tell you how Wayne had his phone out taking a photo of it because he didn't know. He said, we had no idea that they were going to do that. And so he was, I was standing right next to Cameron Smith's old man when they carried him off the field. And he said, I still don't know.
Really?
So I'm getting to the point where, and it doesn't bother Cam that everybody's talking about it. He understands it. He doesn't see the importance or the relevance of it. Just the rest of the Australian sporting public do.
Hey, good on you, Dobbo. Good update, my brother.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this. You know, open the phones up now, 13 27 10. There's a push on to make Sydney or New South Wales style ocean pools here on our Gold Coast, particularly around Burleigh. If you missed the story, have a listen to this.
A saltwater playground at Snapper Rocks, Burleigh from above, before the pavilion. Ocean pools were a family favourite. Now there's growing calls to bring them back.
Sydney, I think, have got something like 35 and all up over 100 in New South Wales. So it begs the question for us, of course, aren't we good enough?
The coast's answer to Bondi and Bronte, a legacy for locals and a tourism trump card. The proposal is backed by business leaders, has the blessing of the World Surfing Reserve, and is championed by Perry Cross, today tabling a petition to council with 13,000 signatures.
A lot of people aren't confident entering the surf, so they just want to have an opportunity to go to the beach.
So there you have it, Sydney-style pools here on the Gold Coast. And if you're not familiar with the Sydney-style pools, they're filled with ocean water, but they are cornered off from the actual ocean and I guess provide a safer swimming environment for those that, as Perry said, are not comfortable heading out into the ocean. Now, I'm really intrigued as to whether or not the Gold Coast actually want these pools. And I can tell you how I've felt about it. When I initially heard about it, I went, no way. Like, I love Mother Nature as it is. I think that Burleigh Headland looks beautiful, is probably the most beautiful beach that I've seen here in Australia. And it doesn't need a man-made ocean pool because it's already got a beautiful ocean there. And why would I want to swim in a pool when I could swim in the ocean? But that's me thinking about it as an able-bodied person who's comfortable swimming in the ocean. And when I hear that Perry, who is a good mate of mine, is for this, it makes me think perhaps I should be also, because perhaps I'm being a bit selfish with regards to my thought process, and people who aren't able to go and comfortably swim in the ocean are going to have that opportunity if we have these ocean-style pools. As for the guy that was talking about Sydney and their beaches, I could care less about Sydney and their beaches. I don't think they hold a candle to what we've got here on the Gold Coast. Bondi Beach, the most overrated beach in Australia, as far as I'm concerned. And chuck a stone at any beach we've got here on the Gold Coast, it's better than Bondi. So, but what do you guys think? I'll be really interested. Apparently, Mayor Tom Tate is really interested in us getting at least one of these pools, particularly at Burleigh Heads. But I'd love to know whether or not the Gold Coast is on board with this or if we were going to reject it big time. Our number, 13 27 10. Do we want these Sydney-style ocean pools here on the Gold Coast or should we leave the beach the way that Mother Nature has already presented it to us? And we'd love to hear your calls. Mick from Kingscliff has called through. Mate, what do you reckon? Yes or no? Do you want them?
Yeah, I reckon they're good ideas for elders, mate. Honestly, because there's a lot of rips out there and stuff, and honestly, it's a bit of scary out for the elders and stuff.
Mm.
And look, the sharks too mean lately, been a lot of shark attacks lately, so.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I would have thought that the Gold Coast would be against it, but Mick's on board. A lot of the heavy hitters from our city are on board, including our mayor, apparently, Billy James, my mate Perry Cross. It makes me think that perhaps we should have them because these guys are a lot smarter than me. Yvonne from Narang, what do you reckon?
Yes, bring them back. I can remember them as a child. They had the one at Burleigh and one down at Coolangatta. They were great.
Hey, Yvonne, can you remember? You remember back to when we had them here at Burleigh and down at Coolangatta. Can you remember why we got rid of them if they were so good?
I think it was just tidal and the upkeep most likely wasn't what could have been expected.
All right. Hey, Dan from Kira's called through as well. What do you reckon, Dan? Do you like the idea of this or not?
No, I love the idea of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. What about, you reckon it would change the aesthetics of Burley, for example? It's such a pretty headland. And then all of a sudden you go whack a rock style man-made pool in there. That doesn't bother you at all?
Not really. I mean, you look at it now, it's got the rocks there at the moment. There's a perfect spot for it. I'm from Sydney originally, and I used to love the balmy summer nights, going down and having a swim in a, you know, you're a safe environment.
Yeah, that's the big point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I have fond memories of it as a kid. So, you know, I'd like to see it for my kids up here.
Hey, good on you, Dan. This is amazing. I honestly thought this would get rejected by our callers massively this afternoon. But Johnny from Currumbin, you're the fifth caller we've taken. And so far, mate, the four callers before you have all been in favour of the rock pools. What about you?
I'm in favour of them, Luke. They're great. I grew up in Newcastle. You've got one at the south end of Merriweather, one at the north end of Newcastle Beach. If you want to just go and do 5 or 10 laps, you're not paying for it. You just go and do it. If you want to go to the pool, a normal pool, what's it cost you? $5 to get in, but do half a dozen laps.
Johnny, I hear you. And, you know, and I've got to say that I'm bowing to what the Gold Coast is saying here, because it sounds like a lot of people are for it. But why not swim just in the ocean, mate? Why do you need the pool?
Not everyone can do laps on in the ocean.
Right.
If you just want to do laps up and down a pool, you can do them in them. I mean, you go back, the first mayor in Newcastle had one, and the prisoners built one for him.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Schappel Corby's finally given a TV interview. This is like a first. She's on the new TV show SAS that's on Channel 7 tonight, 7:30 I believe it's on, and a real coup for 7 to get Schappel Corby to go on this show. And I guess a part of her deal, she had to front up to a few of the Channel 7 shows, one of them being Sunrise This Morning, and they're saying that this was some of the most awkward TV of 2020, which is saying something, because we've had some awful moments in 2020. But it came down to Sam Armitage back in the studio in Sydney. Schappel's on the beach down here on the Gold Coast somewhere, and I think Schappel misheard Sam Armitage. Sam Armitage was saying something along the lines of, gee, I covered your trial in Bali, and if you'd have told me that one of these days I was then going to be interviewing you for a reality TV show, I never would have believed it. But Schappel kind of, I don't know, got very defensive, and it was it made for awkward TV. Let's have a listen.
Schappel, it's Sam here. I covered part of your trial in Bali, and if you'd said to me at that time that one of these days, fast forward 10, 15 years, I'd be interviewing you now doing a reality show, I would have said, oh, for goodness sake. If you'd said to me back then that one of these days I'd be interviewing you about a reality show, I would have said absolutely no way. What do you say to people out there?
Well, I wouldn't have had any clue what would be in my future.
Yeah, so what do you say to people out there who are surprised now that you want to pursue a TV career?
Nothing. It's all about my own self. Yeah, I did this for myself.
Okay, fair enough. And how were you prepared for the experience? You know, in the first episode, you were interrogated. You've been through that before. How hard was it to go through this again?
Well, this is why I wanted to go on the show. It's physically, I know I'm not up for the challenge, but I needed to know the mental side of me that I was in control of.
She strikes me as someone who's just really defensive about the media and wary and suspicious of the media. And that sort of comes through, I think, in that chat, because Sam Armitage wasn't, in her defense, saying anything in any way derogatory. But I can understand where Schappel's coming from. She's probably been burnt by the media so many times that she's just completely and understandably untrustworthy of the media. And that was pretty awkward to listen to, I've got to be honest. There was another moment also where they must have just been like, how's our luck? We finally got Schappel Corby to talk, and a bloody chopper is coming by and drowning her out. They've got no luck whatsoever. She's down the beach, beautiful day on the Gold Coast. And if I could say this, Schappel looks stunning too. I don't know who did her makeup, but she looks really good, Schappel Corby. And so they're probably striking ratings gold having her talk, and then a bloody chopper comes and drowns her out. Have a listen.
I went on the SAS Australia TV show purely for myself. purely for myself. I'm not in under any expectation to change any perception about what the public may have of me. This is completely and purely for myself to change. To
can you talk up?
Check my mental health.
Can you speak up? Unbelievable. That reminded me of like when. That reminded me of when Margot came down when I was doing the news for Channel 9 Gold Coast, and she saw me on the side of the road doing the weather, and she just parked her car, waited until I was live on air, and see if you can spot what Margot does. It's fairly subtle, but see if you can spot what Margot did.
Yeah, Steve, I'm here on the side of the highway in Surfers Paradise. I tell you what, the traffic will be a lot busier tomorrow afternoon, I think, because temps up over 30 degrees for parts of the Gold Coast, so I think the beach will be getting a fair workout tomorrow afternoon. If we have a look at today's coast cam, you can see a little bit overcast to start with, but not a lot of rain in these clouds around at the moment, barely a millimetre, and that's the forecast for us tomorrow as well. Checking today's temps, around average for most of us, 27 was the top for Coolangatta and Burleigh, got to 27. Here in Surfers Paradise as well as Southport.
God, that's funny. That was the best get she ever got me on. That was brilliant. A great moment. Hey, by the way, how's Chappelle? Like when she shot that SAS, I got a bit of a connection with her because when she quarantined at Ridges at Southbank and she was in quarantine with my daughter, Coralie, who was in quarantine at the same time, coming back from boarding school, doing 2 weeks in a hotel suite. And every day, Coralie would get half an hour out to exercise. And when she'd go into the exercise yard, Chappelle was there. Coralie didn't know who she was. I had to explain to her who Chappelle Corby was. Anyway, I think it's great that she's on TV tonight, and I actually wish her all the best, and I'll be watching. I reckon it's going to be a good TV show, that one.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Our next guest, mate, I would have thought he would be sick and tired of driving by this stage. He drove the best part of 1,000 kilometres yesterday around Mount Panorama for Bathurst, and I'm being told that he's actually driving back to the Gold Coast now as well. Tim Slade came 5th in Bathurst yesterday. It was a great performance. He's on the road and joining us on the phone. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
Good, mate. Are you driving at the moment? Is that what I'm hearing, that you're driving, you're making your way back to the coast?
I'm in the car with my teammate Fabs.
Right.
So yeah, we've done a few K's over the last week. Drive down there, and then drive back.
And so when you get back, Tim, before we get into yesterday's race, have you got to then quarantine, or how does that work for you guys?
Yeah, we do. So I guess all the Queensland guys are gonna do that sort of within the border bubble there. So yeah, sort of Kingscliff, Casuarina, Tweed, all around there.
Wow. Okay, there's something for you to look forward to when you don't be taking it easy on the way home. 2 weeks stuck inside. Hey, and how was it, mate? We spoke to you last week in the lead up to the race and how it was going to be different atmosphere wise with, you know, without 200,000 fans there and you only had 4,000. It looked a bit sterile on TV, but once you got used to the fact that there were no crowds there, it just looked like a regular Bathurst and it was awesome race. How did it feel for you, mate, inside the actual supercar?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Like, they definitely lacked, you know, the atmosphere and vibe and everything else that the event normally brings. But yeah, I mean, you put the helmet on and you get in the race car and it's racing as per usual. You don't notice any difference. But yeah, definitely lack that compared to a normal Bathurst.
And what about last night, mate? So like, I'd imagine it's a massive party after a Bathurst on a regular year, but how were the celebrations, if any, last night? How did that all break down?
Oh, well, for us, it was pretty quiet. We just had a couple of beers at the track and a couple back at our accommodation. And there was sort of talks of potentially going out Sunday night, but we canned that knowing that we had to drive home today. If we finished on the podium or won, it might have been a little bit of a different story, and today might have been a struggle, but yeah, we definitely played the smart option.
You're not paying for it today, that's the good news. So where so you guys are rolling back where will you get to on the road today?
Oh, well, we'll get all the way back to Tweed,
right?
Today,
really?
Yep.
And so
yep.
And what's that like, mate? You spent all day yesterday in the car and now all day today, just cruising back and, you know, chalking off the K's. It must be hard, and I'm being serious there. Is it hard to not speed after you've been doing these incredible kilometres yesterday at, you know, reaching, what, like the top speed you get to yesterday is what, 250 Ks or something like this?
And now, yeah, close to 300, Bathurst.
Wow. And so how hard is it to abide by the speed limit once you've gone from that to just a regular jobber on the road?
Well, I've been lucky enough just to be sitting in the passenger seat.
Right.
Babs has done all the driving. But, yeah, just flick it on cruise control and cruise home. And I don't know, it's sort of, you know, it's chalk and cheese for us. The
right.
race car's, you know, race car. And then driving on the road, you obviously have, you know, the rules that you have to abide by. And you want to look after your license.
Is it true that both of you still got your helmets on, though?
they're nice and sweaty in the truck on the way back.
Mate, you did fantastic. Honestly, it was an awesome race. I loved it, and it was riveting viewing from us sitting back at. We got the easy job of watching you on the couch. You should be proud of yourself, mate, and enjoy your 2 weeks in ISO, and we'll see you when you get back.
No worries, thanks, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Brownlow medals on last night, but tell you what, for lack of a better term, it was piss weak performance, I thought. It was just like half-assed around the country with people sort of half getting dressed up, some people not getting dressed up at all. And I felt sorry for the AFL because usually this is the night of night. And even for the fashion industry here in Australia, it's usually the night of nights. Cherie Everett is joining us right now from her luxury abode in Sanctuary Cove. The mayoress of Sanctuary Cove, Cherie Everett.
Good afternoon.
What did you think, Cherie? Like, I felt sorry for the wags because when Spider was in his heyday and you were gallivanting around the Crown Casino in Melbourne, all dressed up, looking at $1 million for the Brownlow medal, you never would have thought that you would have been doing it in your living room in a dressing gown like you were last night.
No, well, exactly where we would have ordinarily gone as well. So that was a real letdown. I was hoping they were going to have a big Brownlow medal count here on the Gold Coast, but they didn't. It was very boring.
Yeah, do you reckon, like, so obviously, you know, the Brisbane Lions player Lachie Neal won their Brownlow.
Yes.
And his girlfriend dressed up, but realistically, like, you were like, why? Because it was just
why?
Like,
yeah, I know.
It was weird.
I mean, good on them for doing it and good on them for, you know, showcasing a little bit of fashion during COVID because it's obviously very boring in the media at the moment. But yeah, it's so incredibly difficult for designers and stuff because a lot of people don't realise that, you know, especially up and coming designers, they hang their, you know, their hierarchy on the Brownlow each year. And so a lot of them would have been working all year on dresses and things like that. And from year to year, you sort of have your contracts in place of who's going to dress you and how it's all going to unfold. So it is a big letdown because, you know, as the wags, I mean, these days it's a little bit different. Wags seem to think they've got a bigger mouth than they should have. But, you know, back in my day, I mean, that was your night. That was the girls' night for the whole year of putting up with everything else.
And then when you have that night of nights, it's almost a night where the girls get to shine and the dudes are almost secondary to you know, to the fashion. How much effort goes into it? In other words, do you decide what you're going to wear or does a designer come to you and say, we want to dress you up in this? Or how does that all break down?
Well, I mean, I used to have Jason Gretsch did a lot of my stuff for the first few years and then Alex Perry. But no, you do. You have a lot of depending. You see, Spider was a bit of a naughty boy. So he was always, the cameras were always on him. So designers knew that they were going to get good mileage out of me because of Pete.
Right. Yes.
So it was, but that, the night, the photo that I posted last night, that night, I actually had $800,000 worth of diamonds on and I had a bodyguard with me who came to the bathroom with me. He was beside me the entire red carpet. Everywhere I went, he followed me around. And then once they sort of, because the first part of the Brownlow, they go to the crowd a lot. As it gets further through the ceremony, they go to the crowd less. So by halfway through the night, he'd taken my jewels off me and he'd scurried back to the vault. But no, there's a lot of girls. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of girls that wear a lot of expensive jewellery.
This guy, the jewellery designer dude, he gives you 800 grand's worth of diamonds, follows you around the security guard. Once he's got his mileage, he takes them straight off you.
That's
awesome.
Don't worry. I've got a rocking set of wedding rings out of it. So,
hang on one sec. Were you there the night that Favola cut loose? If you don't remember Favola, have a go at this.
No, not at all. Stevens a goal? Your favourite movie, Stevens a goal?
Isn't the Vox Pop meant to be about a straight bloke taking a piss out of his piss bloke?
Were you... That's Brendan Favola. That's what the Brownlows used to be. And then last night it was people on their couch, you know, and...
Yawning,
yeah. So if you were robbed, is it? In other words, everyone was robbed of a big night, particularly the Wags.
Yeah, they certainly were. So I hope next year that they really put on something massive to replace it, because it's a good night. It's a very long and boring night, but it's also a great night, and it's a fun night to be a part of.
Well, the Dally M's are on tonight, so it's Rugby League's night tonight. We'll see how they cover it off. But, hey, Cherie, we miss you. We love you. Thanks for your time.
Oh, my God, I miss you too.
So do we. There she goes, Cherie Everett. Hey.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
If you're wondering who's going to win the NRL Grand Final, our next guest might be able to point you in the right direction, because I follow him on social media, and he's made some interesting parallels between the Penny Panthers from 2003, of which he was a part of the team that went on to win the Grand Final, and the current crop that we've got in 2020, talking about the great Marty Lang, bravest footy player to ever live, is joining us right now. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Luke. How are you? What an introduction.
Oh, I loved it, mate. I love watching you play. You're one of my favourite players of all time, because you always gave 100% and you ran into brick walls like flat out. You're a madman, and I loved it.
No, oh, look, I'm paying for it nowadays. But look, I unfortunately for my body, I was that was the only option I really had, due to my sort of probably wasn't blessed with the greatest skills, but I just had to work hard and sort of had to use the two attributes I had, which was size and speed, I guess. So yeah. I had to make the most of what I had.
Yeah, but you're being humble. You've said that to me privately, by the way, and I think you don't give yourself enough raps for what you're doing on footy field. But we're not here to discuss what happened in 2003. We're here to talk about the Penny Panthers of 2020, and there are some really interesting parallels between the last time Penrith won the Grand Final and your side, which won the Grand Final. And you want to talk us through it, mate?
Yeah, well, look, obviously we've got you've got the father-son combination there of Ivan Cleary and Nathan, which was obviously a very much a different dynamic to what my father and I had. He used to be the world's best player and their chief playmaker, and works very in a professional level, works very closely alongside his father. Well, that wasn't the case with me. But look, I think, both sides have a great sort of mix. We had a great mix of sort of youth, Luke Lewis and Luke Rooney, and those younger players combined with some experience. I see this side probably has the same sort of thing. Although I will say this, given the consecutive amount of the consecutive wins this current crop have on the board, if they win the grand final on Sunday, they will go down as the greatest Penrith side ever, because it's an unbelievable achievement what they've done now this year, especially under the with the COVID rules and whatnot. It's been a marvellous effort.
Well, they've won 17 games in a row. It's been 17 years since Penrith have won a grand final. The last time Penrith won a grand final, they had a father-son player-coach combination. That's what they've got with you and your dad, and that's what they've got this year with Ivan and Nathan Cleary. It all points towards a Penrith victory, mate. It really does, and it would be it'd be great in a lot of ways if they did get up and win, given it's been 17 years. I can't believe it's been that long since you guys won.
No, look, time flies. Well, I certainly can, because Scott Sattler reminds me of his tackle once a week. So, look, it doesn't seem like such a long time ago for me. But, look, in all honesty, I think... interesting parallels there. I mean, we played against the Sydney Roosters. They won the competition in 2002. And, look, Melbourne's... Obviously, this Penrith are up against a Melbourne team which has dominated the last, 10 to 15 years. So, and look, happens to have probably the greatest player and coach of all time in Cameron Smith and Craig Bellamy. So, look, they're going to be extremely difficult to beat. There's no doubt about that. But I think given the way Penrith have played this year, they've just been playing fearlessly. And when I say fearlessly, I'm not talking about they have been playing tough, but I just think that Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, they just they're not scared to try things, and they just go out there and have fun. They're not second guessing themselves, and I think that's probably a great benefit that their playmakers have. They're not sort of at the back end of their career where they're going for their first title and they might be sort of
It's now or never. They're desperate.
It's now or never. They're really desperate. Hey. These guys, I don't think they give a second thought to whether they're going to lose or win. I think they just think they just expect to win and they go out there and have fun. And it shows in their football.
Hey, final question, Marty, before we let you go. Does the club do anything for you guys as being the last playing group which bought them a premiership? Do they take you to the grand final this year, or given the COVID times, is that not possible?
No. Well, I would imagine maybe they would have done something. I'm really not sure. But no, nothing at all, given COVID and the fact that people would have to, self-isolate for 2 weeks and all that sort of thing. I think it made it impossible, especially with, even if everybody did live in Sydney. I know the Dally M's, it's all sort of, you know, everything's changed this year. They're not going to have the grand final breakfast and all these sorts of things. So, no, nothing at all, mate. But I will enjoy sitting back on Sunday night watching on the television. No, I can't wait. It's going to be a great game.
Hey, good on you, Marty. Say good day to your old man for us as well. He's an absolute legend. This is how old I am. I watched your old man play State of Origin footy, mate, like back in the day. That's how far I go back. But I've loved watching you guys. And, mate, all the best. And thanks for your time, the Savo.
Thanks very much, Luke.
There he goes, the great Marty Lang. We're racking off out of here now. Thanks so much for your company this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 4 for your local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.